to Egypt now, and from people power on the streets of Cairo more than a year ago to a complex circus of names on the ballot standing for election to a new parliament months ago, to a presidential election with more than a dozen candidates, to a runoff between two candidates. Now, the so-called democracy in Egypt comes down to a simple power struggle between the Egyptian military and the Muslim Brotherhood. The rest of the nation is caught in the middle.
The concern is that the situation is extremely murky now. Even many Egyptians don't understand it.
That's State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland speaking to reporters yesterday. Today, events may be decided or advanced by how many people go into the streets in support of the Muslim Brotherhood in a demonstration that's scheduled for today. Joining us now from Cairo is John Lyne, correspondent for our partner at the BBC. John, welcome back to the program.
Many thanks.
Let's talk a little bit about what Victoria Nuland just said. Many Egyptians don't understand this murkiness. Is that what you're seeing? Do they not understand what's going on, or do they understand it all too well at this point?
Oh, I think Egyptians are pretty savvy. I think they've shown us that they understand power in this country. And I think what they understand is that in some ways, actually, a compromise has been reached. We had a situation where, as it stood before this weekend, the Muslim Brotherhood, who at their best got about 30% of the vote, could have won the presidency, already just about controlling the parliament and the Constitutional Assembly writing the new constitution. And the military have acted to prevent that by various slightly circuitous means. It seems that they've either encouraged or taken advantage of a Supreme Constitutional Court ruling. The court is actually chaired by a good friend of theirs. And they've taken that advantage to dissolve Parliament, to take big powers back to themselves, and basically to ensure themselves against a win by Mohamed Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood, who does look like he will be the next president of Egypt.
John Lyne, is this martial law in the temporary sense, as we've seen in Pakistan, where the military takes control and then there is a devolving to civilian rule from time to time? Or does this look more or less permanent in the case of Mubarak coming to power after Sadat's assassination?
Well, you never know, do you? 30 years for Mubarak, so
right.
And that's how long the emergency laws lasted then. And it was supposed to be temporary, of course, after the military took office following the fall of Mubarak. We have it's not like that. I don't think we're going back to the bad old days here. I don't think that we could ever have a situation in which you just had one autocrat ruling the country virtually unchallenged for many, many years. Society has become freer here. You have demonstrations almost every day, which would have been inconceivable. You have a freedom of speech, a freedom of the press. And even those many people who say to you here, I just wish they'd stop squabbling and we can just get back to work, they will all then in a second answer say, but I'm really enjoying this freedom of speech. I'm enjoying the freedom that we never had under Hosni Mubarak. So Egypt has changed. But the politics is still very complicated. Part of the problem is that a third force has not evolved yet, a secular force, a secular opposition force. Those were the ones who led the revolution in Tahrir Square, but they haven't got their act together yet. So Egyptians were faced between this choice between the Muslim Brotherhood and between the old regime stroke the military, and many people are somewhere in between at the moment.
And the sad thing is that with the dissolution of Parliament, that would have been the only place where that secular voice would have been heard. Is there any scheduling of new elections? And if there would be new elections, if the Muslim Brotherhood candidate is the president, wouldn't that favor the Muslim Brotherhood in running for those parliamentary seats?
Well, who knows? Certainly the parliamentary elections are not going to be held for several months. I think even the military here wouldn't dare just dissolve Parliament permanently. The general belief is the Muslim Brotherhood and the other Islamists will do less well in the re-election because they weren't considered to have performed very well over the months the Parliament was in being. But we'll have to wait and see. Probably they would still get a good chunk of the vote. They were also actually bizarrely favoured by the previous electoral system, perhaps mistakenly put in place by the military. So both the changing of the electoral system and the fact of their reduced popularity means they will probably get less votes. I've always reckoned that the Muslim Brotherhood here have a core of support of around 25 or 30% of active voters here in this country. And then the Salafists, the more hardline Islamists, their support is harder to gauge because in many ways the people who voted for them felt there was nobody else they wanted. So the key again is whether the third force, whether the secularists can get their act together. They have now announced the formation of a political party designed to coalesce the various different forces. Mohamed El-Baradei, Nobel Peace Prize winner, is a key player in that. They need to get out and organise themselves across the country, and also to prove that they are a party for all Egyptians, not just a sort of Cairo middle-class elite party.
Talking with John Lyne, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. So then let's get to the issue of the presidency itself. If Mohamed Morsi officially takes control, has the military ruling council essentially created a reduced power figurehead position for this Muslim Brotherhood Morsi candidate? And if so, is that what protesters in the streets may be angry about, depending on what happens later today?
Well, the first answer is yes. I think absolutely clearly the military have done that. They've taken themselves most of the powers over the military, for example, the power to declare war. It was interesting. A lot of stuff has come out in the details last night. They announced the new membership of the National Defence Council. Still going to be chaired by the president, so he can sit there and look important. But actually, they've put about 8 generals on it. So, in fact, he can be outvoted at every turn. So the military will still basically hold the power behind the scenes. Now, the big question, though, is will the Brotherhood accept this settlement? My hunch is they might. Yes, they are planning demonstrations today. Yes, of course, they want to put up some resistance, not least because they haven't been confirmed in winning the presidency yet, so they want to make their presence felt. However, this all started unrolling last Thursday, 5 days ago, and so far we haven't actually seen the big, massive demonstrations on the streets. They didn't rush to go and occupy Parliament and try and keep their positions there. So I think, actually, the Muslim Brotherhood may think, well, 2 years ago, it would have been inconceivable we had a president. We'll take what we're given.
All right. Is it weariness or a sense of political savvy there in Egypt that is taking hold as these developments unfold? John Lyne, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, reporting from Cairo. Thanks as always, John.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.